living in his presence. The author of the following article is an American devotee living in Europe. She has been visiting Sri Ramanashram regularly for the last 14 years and attended last year's celebrations marking the centenary anniversary of the Maharishi's arrival at Arunachala. She requested to be referred to as MT only. I was very happy to be among the devotees who gathered at Sri Ramanashram for the centenary celebration of Sri Bhagavan's arrival at Arunachala. I did not take an active role in the celebrations, nor did I participate in the yatra from Madurai to Arunachala, although I was invited to join. Somehow I felt that I should not move from Arunachala, and there was no rational explanation. In the days prior to the celebration, I got into a routine of going around the hill, Guri Pradakshina, sitting in the Samadhi Hall, the old hall, or visiting Sri Arunachaleswara Temple in the town. I watched as the ashram workers built the pandal, where the function would be held, and the other temporary structures to feed the 4,000 visitors that were expected on that day. Sometimes I helped in the kitchen, cutting vegetables and splitting the banana leaves on which the food is served. A temporary thatched extension to the dining room was erected, and groups of Indian men and women sat in circles cutting vegetables with a traditional cutting utensil that had a sharp upright blade mounted on a wooden base. There were literally mountains of vegetables to be cut for the sambar and curry. The volunteers played cassettes of Sanskrit stotras, which helped to turn the work into meditation. A meditative atmosphere prevailed even as we chatted gaily. And of course, I always kept in mind that Sri Bhagavan himself used to go into the kitchen and take an active role in preparing food for his devotees. On this particular visit to the ashram, I was more socially inclined as the circumstances did not favor having much privacy. I enjoyed meeting the fellow devotees, learning about their joys and pains, and sharing some of mine. Sri Bhagavan continuously enforces in the aura of his presence. We only have to dive deep in the heart. What is going on externally is not the essential. There is a quiet current of peace that prevails, and we can hold fast to it. Early mornings are particularly special at the ashram. Some mornings I would set out for Giri Pradakshina, but most often I would go before dawn to the Samadhi Hall, sit in the back and become absorbed in Sri Bhagavan's presence. The whole place is charged with that presence as devotees start to slowly walk around the Samadhi in perfect silence or sit down in various places in the hall. As the centenary celebrations approached, the number of devotees increased significantly. The magnet of Sri Bhagavan's grace continues to draw us to him as honey draws bees to the flower. There is something very special in this transition period between darkness and daylight, sandhi, as if all the tendencies of the mind, samskaras, are drawn into the self, and the whole creation lies suspended for a moment in this latent state. At the center is Sri Bhagavan's Samadhi, emanating grace. When the pujari begins to chant Sri Ganapati Muni's Chatvarimshat, 40 verses in homage to Sri Ramana, it seems as if all the creation is offered to the lotus feet of Bhagavan, allowing the I to shine forth even in the midst of activity. The milk offering is made after a short puja, and devotees take the light, apply kumkum and vibhuti, and then file silently around the samadhi. Just before going out the door towards the dining room, as the bell rings for breakfast, another pujari pours a spoonful of milk into our open hands. The day begins. Whether I am in the samadhi hall on the Pradakshinar road or in the Sri Arunachala temple in these early morning hours. This feeling of a new beginning dedicated to Sri Bhagavan is the same. There is a great feeling of oneness. Just before the centenary celebration began, the iron grill was removed from in front of Sri Bhagavan's Samadhi. There was much banging and clanging for several days, but the result was well worth it. The Samadhi is now fully open to delight our eyes, with only a stone railing around it and a beautiful copper gate in front to mark off the limits. The program started on Monday, the 26th of August, with the chanting of Yajurveda in the morning and afternoon. The music program was a wonderful opportunity for us to listen to Sri Bhagavan's compositions in both Sanskrit and Tamil, some of which, like Upadesa Saram, we have the good fortune to hear during the Sanskrit and Tamil Parayana carried out daily at the ashram. This was a special occasion and the devotional fervor was at its peak. We were also able to listen to the Sri Ramana Suprabhatam, written by a visiting Swami and sung by the devotees, the Ribhu Gita, Sri Ramana Gita, Saddarsanam, and others. The chanting and music taking place 1 week before the centenary day roused great feelings of devotion. I was particularly moved by the Indian lady devotees who sang Sri Guruganath's beautiful Sri Ramana Sannidhi Murai in the new hall outside the mother's temple. I was lucky to have someone translate parts of it very discreetly at my side. The spiritual emotions culminated in the Devaram songs sung by the Odhuvars from Sri Arunachaleswara temple, accompanied by a violin and a drum. How to express the feelings? I was transfixed as these singers brought the ancient Tamil devotional hymns alive and stirred us in the depths of our being. I looked at the faces of some of the old devotees sitting there in rapture and felt chills running through me. The ceremony at the Pandal opened with the lighting of the Kuthuvilakku by Swami Ramanananda, formerly Sri Venkataraman, who has served Sri Bhagavan and the ashram tirelessly for most of his life. When his son Sri V.S. Ramanan Sundaram gave the inaugural address, his voice shook with emotion, mirroring the feelings that we all shared. I listened to some of the program and alternately went into the kitchen to help. I felt very much at home. Sunday was the 1st of September and there was to be a Mahabhishekam at the Sri Arunachaleswara temple at 3:30 a.m. to commemorate the arrival of Sri Bhagavan 100 years ago. At 6 a.m., the Yatra devotees would be greeted at the railway station by Sri Ramanananda and Sri Sundaram. I set off for the temple at 2:30 a.m. by myself. I had wanted to do Giri Pradakshina first, but I felt that I should go directly to the temple. When I got there just before 3:30 a.m., the temple gates were shut. A few devotees were sitting outside the temple and we all waited as more devotees started to arrive. Some had carried out Giri Pradakshina first. We started to sing Arunachala Siva and the outer gates were opened. We were stopped again by the inner gate being closed. As we stood outside, a brief shower fell on us and I could not help but think of Sri Bhagavan's being bathed in the same way when, as a boy, he arrived at his father's abode. The gates opened and the devotees flooded into the courtyard in front of the inner sanctum, Garbhagriha, the shrine of Sri Arunachaleswara. We could see the shape of Arunachala rising above the gopurams of the temple. With great reverence and awe, I entered the Garbhagriha along with the other devotees. Although I had entered this area of the temple many times and attended many pujas over the past 14 years, I felt this particular time was unique. I thought of the young Brahmin boy from Madurai who had come to join his father 100 years ago. Sri Bhagavan came to the abode of his father by himself. Today, there was a huge crowd, but somehow I felt as if we were all reliving this moment as one being united in our devotion to Sri Bhagavan and Arunachala. Great heat emanates from the Arunachaleshwara Linga. With the crowd, it was even more intense, like undergoing extreme tapas. The priests performed the Mahabhishekam ceremony where the Arunachaleshwara Lingam is washed and dressed. The priests apply various items to the Lingam like saffron, honey, milk, curd, vibhuti, sandal paste, etc. Large vessels of water are carried in and the priests pour the water over the Lingam. A curtain is then drawn as the priests continue to dress and garland the Lingam and adorn him with special ornaments. Food is also offered behind the curtain. All the while, the priests are chanting mantras in Sanskrit. When the curtain was drawn, revealing Sri Arunachaleshwara in his full glory, we were filled with great awe and devotion. The priest waved the lamps as the temple bell tolled. I cannot describe the intense joy I felt during those precious moments. However, those moments are eternal and their significance can be relived over and over again by turning within. After the ceremony in the Sri Arunachaleshwara temple was completed, the flow of devotees moved to the shrine of Apita Kuchambika Unnamulayamman, the consort of Arunachaleshwara. The coolness of the mother's shrine refreshed us. Again, the priest performed Mahabhishekam, garlanded and dressed mother behind the curtain, drew the curtain revealing her glory and waved the lights. As I came out of the mother's shrine, I saw the devotees who had just returned from the yatra in the inner courtyard of the temple. I don't remember clearly what happened, just that I was completely transported and I saw my feelings reflected on the faces of the returning pilgrims. Then I knew that we were all like streams flowing into the same ocean of Sri Bhagavan's grace as we joined together in this sacred spot. I joined the pilgrims as they walked back to the ashram singing Arunachala Siva. It was moving to see some of the older devotees who had undertaken the yatra without the slightest strain. The pilgrims were greeted warmly as they entered the ashram gates. The centenary program was starting and I stayed for part of it. However, I felt some force pulling me back to the Arunachaleshwara temple. I returned in a rickshaw. I spent the rest of that day in the temple, sometimes in the shrine of Arunachaleshwara and sometimes in the shrine of Apita Kuchambika. Each puja drew me further inward and there are no words to describe the immense joy. In the evening, I joined some devotees taking food outside the mother's shrine. I contemplated the ever-present Arunachala mountain and thanked him from the depths of my heart. It was fairly late when I got back to the ashram. There had been a concert by a popular Tamil musician, but most everyone was gone by then. The kitchen, however, was still open and Sundaram was making sure that some remaining devotees had their food. I was happy to take some drinking water as I was quite thirsty. I then retired to my room very, very happy. Santosham.